We continue our learning, Leilu Nishmas David ben Menachem Unish and Chaim Yaakov ben Pinchas Eliyo. We are in Trumos Perek Dal in Mishnah Aleph. Our Mishnah will discuss a situation where someone is setting aside Truma in two stages. So the Mishnah says like this, Hamafrish Miktas Truma Umasros, person who separates out Miktas, only partial Truma and Maaser, Motzi Mimenu Truma Alav, he can separate from that pile the remaining truma for that particular pile, avalol makom acher, but not for another place. What does this mean? So the case is if a person separated a portion of the truma or the maestros that a particular pile of grain or produce, whatever, needs. So let's say, for example, we're supposed to separate 2%. So you have 100 bushels of wheat in the pile, and he wants to eventually separate two out. But right now he only separates one. So we'll see the potential issue here. The Mishnah says what seems to be obvious, motzim menu truma alav. So then he's able to finish the amount that he's supposed to separate by separating out afterwards the second time in the second stage, a second bushel, and there you're going to have 2%, 2 out of 100 is separated. So what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? So if you think about what the person did, you will understand the problem. One would have had the following havamni, would have thought like this. Where after you separate out 1%, so I can't now go back to that pile and take the other 1%, a second bushel, because when I took out one bushel out of 100, so that had the status of truma. Now, what did that fix? What did that rectify in my tevel? I had a pile of 100 bushels, which are tevel, and I know I'm supposed to take two out, and that will now, as truma, now the entire pile will no longer be tevel, and you'll be able to eat it. But I didn't do that. I only separated one bushel out. So essentially, I have here a pile where only half of it is no longer tevel. The other half is tevel. I don't even know, and I don't know where the tevel and where the non-tevel is. I've only really fixed half of what of that pile. So maybe we should say like this, if I'm going to now take out another one bushel, another 1%, so I can't call that truma, because truma has to be separated from that which is tevel. Now, but if I'm going to take out another one bushel, maybe I'm taking out that bushel from the non-tevel portion, from the portion that was already fixed by my first truma. So that can't count as truma. So the chiddush of the Mishnah is that I'm allowed to do that. I'm allowed to separate the remaining truma from that particular pile, because we have the right to say that the bushel, the second bushel I'm taking out, is also tevel. Why do we have the right to say that? Because we aren't going to view the two separate separations, the two stages of separation, as two separate things, as two separate trumas. It's all one truma. The fact that they don't happen simultaneously is not a problem. I take out one bushel and a little bit later a second bushel, and we're assuming that I'm taking both of them from the tevel part of the pile, which effectively makes them into truma. But the Mishnah says, avalolo makom acher. I can't designate a portion of this pile, what's left, for another pile. I'm allowed to designate a portion of this pile as truma for the remaining produce. That's okay. But to make now, to say, oh, I have another pile of produce I want to fix, I'm going to take out one bushel from this pile in order to fix a completely different pile of produce. That already I'm not allowed to do. Why? Because what's happening here? I still have to separate a little bit more truma from this pile. And now, by using this pile, the produce, to take care of the problem of another pile, to discharge the obligation of truma from another pile of tevel, what am I showing? I'm showing that I basically completed my truma separation for this particular pile. If that's so, the initial truma that I separated becomes effective, and we don't look at it as the beginning, stage one of the two parts of separating out the 2%. So now half the produce indeed is non-tevel. And the problem that I thought I had in the case of the pile itself, which we said we resolved, I will have when I want to separate it out for a makom acher for another place. Since this pile has produce that's not a chayiv in truma, I'm afraid that the truma that I take out now is going to be a problem. Then Rabbi Meir Omer, af motzihu l'makom acher, truma masos. Rabbi Meir disagrees, and he doesn't make a difference between that I'm using this a portion of this pile for truma for the rest of this pile, or using this truma for another pile. If I'm able to separate out another one bushel for this pile, and you're going to tell me I don't have to worry about the fact that I'm taking, maybe taking from non-tevel, from that which has already been fixed, so to speak, so then I don't have to worry about doing that for another pile. I'm able to take out one bushel on behalf of another pile of produce, and we assume that the bushel I took out is complete truma taken from the tevel section. Ravid has an interesting understanding of this Mishnah. He believes that this employs the principle of Brera. We've mentioned in the past, retroactive clarification. Rabbi Meir is basically saying that I agree with the Tana Kama that the pile of produce has a mixture of tevel or non-tevel. I agree that there's a problem here. But nonetheless, I can separate truma from this pile for tevel produce from the other pile based on Brera. Brera basically says, right, and that in this case, we have the Brera allows a person to clarify, that's what it means, retroactively, that the initial truma that I took, which took care of half of the pile and made half of this pile, the original pile, non-tevel, right, that never included the portion that I'm going to designate as truma for a different pile. So, therefore, the second bushel that I take out is still able to serve as truma. That is Rabbi Meir's opinion, the end of the Mishnah. Perek Daled, Mishnah Beis. This Mishnah has several ways to interpret. We're going to follow one of the Bar Tanuzin interpretations, and that will be the only one we'll learn. Says the Mishnah, Misha Yupero Sovba Magura. Person has produce in a Magura, which is a storehouse, like a silo. V'nasan sa'a leven levi u'sa'a la'ani. So this is where different interpretations, what this means. We're going to assume the following. What the person did, we have a case of the Mishnah, is talking about an Amaretz. The Amaretz hired a chaver. And the Amaretz has produce in his silo. And he plans on using that produce to feed his employee, to feed his chaver. Now, the employer being an Amaretz, we know that the chaver would not be able to eat his food without taking his own masros, right? We have to be careful about that. As we've learned in the past, the produce of an Amaretz is known as demai, and the worker can't eat the employer's produce without taking meiser, just in case, on the chance that we know truma was taken and many masros was not taken. And so this is what we allow. To be done. And the Mishnah, that's what we require, rather. And now the Mishnah is saying that this worker, he should have to be chayv to separate maasros as well. But the case of the Mishnah is where the worker saw the employer take two saw of the food from the silo. He gave one, that's what it means. Nasan sa, Misha yiperasav bamagura, vinasan sa leben levi sa laani. He, the worker, who is a chaver, saw the employer, who is an ama aretz, take one sa, one measure of produce and give to a levi. And another, so he gave to an ani. So it sounds like these are the right people, right? Maser ani, assuming it's a third of the sixth year. Maser rishon, of course, every year. So the worker is thinking, oh, look at that. The Amaretz is doing what he's supposed to do. He gave, presumably the people who are supposed to be the rightful owners or recipients. So now the Mishnah says, because of that, what he can rely, the Mafrish ad Shmones Sa'in V'Ochlon. He is able to separate, up until eight saw and eat. So what does that mean? He's saying that these two saw are sufficient masros for how much produce? So for 10 sof produce, right? Because not for everything that's in the silo, in the storeroom. You have many, many saw in the storeroom. But at least if you're telling me you gave one saw to a Levi as maser, one saw to an Ani as maser, true, it's not exactly one saw each. After you give once only one saw, after you give to the Levi the saw, you give to the Ani as maser from what's left. But we get the idea, right? Each one gets. So now, says the Mishnah, this person can literally separate up to 8 saw and eat them. The worker could take up to 8 saw from the storeroom and eat them, right? Assuming, because what? We assume that the 2 saw of Maisos were given for 10 saw, 8 of which now become chulin. And assuming the employer gave them to the right owners, to the right people, so 8 saw is able to eat. And that's what the Tanakhama says. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's Rabbi Meir's opinion. V'chachamim omrim, eno mafrish elo lefi cheshbon. The Chachamim disagree. What do they say? They say the employer could not have had the intention to take maser by giving the one saw to the Levi and one saw to the Ani, that he was planning to take maser, to be maser, 10 saw of the produce that's in the silo, so he'll have food for his worker. What does that mean? The 8 saw that are officially now considered mu'usar, the that we're talking about, is a lot more than obviously he planned on feeding his worker. So you'll say true, the amount that he gave is now should fix 8 saw left of what's in the silo, but because there's no way, 8 saw is a huge amount of grain, there's no way the owner, the employer, planned on giving the chaver worker 8 saw worth, so therefore we say we only assume that part of those portions that were taken from, although it looked like he gave one full saw to him and one full saw to him, it's only part of each of those saws were considered maser, enough to provide the worker with food for one meal, and the remainder were probably gifts to the Levi, a gift to the Levi, and a gift to the Ani. And that's why our friend the Chaver is only able to eat, based on what he sees, enough for one meal. So that's what it means. V'chachamim omim eino mafrish ela lefi cheshbon. Only according to the amount, and that cheshbon would be for one meal.